Hello, everybody. Welcome again to Perspectives of Change. I'm your host, Sarika Kharbanda. And today I have with me an amazing guest dialing in from, you want to tell us, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm dialing in from the Netherlands, the south of the Netherlands, although it's a small country, but still it's the south though.
Awesome. And I'm dialing in from Pune as again. And both Ralph and I actually have a very special topic that we just coined, and we want to call it Blaming Frameworks, Dodging Responsibility. But before we dive into what that topic really entails over, I don't know, a water conversation for me, and probably Ralph has got something around there. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So, but before that, let's do a bit of an introduction for both of us. Ralph, you've of course been on Perspectives of Change before. People have already heard you, but I think it's good for our new viewers and listeners to also know who's Ralph, and then we can begin.
Yeah. I'm Ralph from the Netherlands, almost 50, we'll turn 50 this year. I've worked in the tech industry since the beginning of my career, so that's 1997, started as a software developer. Then I realized that working with people and processes will give me more energy, so I switched to management. And management is for me like being a Scrum Master, Agile Coach, being Department Manager, Development Director, all those kind of roles, QA Manager, Test Manager, Project Lead. All of that kind of roles. Doing that since 2004, being in agile work way of working since also 2004, 2003. And I started my own company, I think almost 9 years ago, helping companies to become, basically helping teams to create value. That's what I realized in the last years. That's what I do. And I do that as a coach, as a Scrum Master, as a project manager, but always helping teams to create value. And besides that, I love to do 2.0 workshops, change management workshops. So that's also something that I offer in the Netherlands and abroad. But that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome, like that. Slightly different introduction from last time, I think. But okay, not that I remember that completely, but yes, it is different. It's nice. All right, so very quick introduction about Perspectives of Change itself and myself. So I'm the host at Perspectives of Change. In addition to that, I enable people, teams, and organizations to build organizational change muscle and hopefully strengthen team dynamics. Essentially do that with facilitation, training, coaching, mentoring, also very similar to what Ralph does. I also do Management 3.0 workshops in change management workshops. I think that's something that we both align on and we have also connected on. So yeah, that's me and Perspectives of Change. Once again, it's a show that is dedicated to enabling how to not change forward by understanding and valuing multiple perspectives. And I purposely introduced that only now because I think it is especially important for today's topic that we bring in these amazing perspectives from our experience that we are hearing from people on this topic of blaming frameworks and dodging responsibility. And I'm just going to start that with a question for us, Ralph. You know, why are people, or why are we seeing people blame any framework? And I'm not going to say which framework here, but pretty much most frameworks that get implemented, right? We see people blaming frameworks. So maybe let's start opening up with that question and we'll see how the conversation emerges.
Yeah, a good one. I mean, if you blame a framework, that makes life easy for you because then it's something that you didn't do. I mean, management decided on implementing this framework or whatever management person did it, then it's not my decision. So it's not my fault that it doesn't work. So you can't blame me. It's a framework. I think that's the easy way to go for people. I mean, you don't need to take responsibility for yourself. You can just blame something else outside of your circle of influence. And you see, not my fault. So I think it's just being, I wouldn't say lazy, but it's easy to blame something outside you for things that don't work. Then the question, of course, is why to blame something? I mean, a new framework, a change is always difficult, so it's always a challenge. And if you can blame the framework, you don't need to take responsibility for your own change. So that's, I think, also one of the reasons that they don't need to change themselves because it's the framework, you know, it's something else.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? I think it's, at least what I'm observing in alignment to what you just said, it's, isn't it like a very human tendency to blame something in the external factors and, you know, just say, okay, there's something else that we have to blame and not ourselves. Maybe sometimes even hide our own incompetencies or deficiencies or, you know, maybe even, I don't know, maybe it could even be not feeling psychologically safe to say something, because I would say some environments could even push people to blame something in the external environment and not take it on themselves and say, hey, I made a genuine mistake here, you know, let me own up to it. What are you seeing in that?
Yeah, I think that's something indeed, what you just said. I mean, it's about, if I cannot blame the framework, then I need to blame myself. Hmm. And blaming is a very negative word. I mean, it feels bad.
Yeah.
And in the last many, many, many years, it's all about improving, getting better, improving yourself, having good reviews, etc., etc. And in a lot of traditional organizations, I mean, if you blame yourself, if you admit that you made a mistake, it will impact your career. It will not look good on you. So then it's easy to blame something outside of your control. So I think definitely it has to do with psychological safety and how the organization looks at performance reviews and at people and what they expect.
Nice. Okay, I heard two things coming from you, and tell me how I'm interpreting it, because I could hear, of course, it could be based on the culture of the organization too and how that lets us behave in that culture. So that could be one. Second, I would also hear it's about the illusion of control, right? It's not that I'm actually in control of the situation, but blaming an external factor kind of makes me feel in control. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I mean, that at least you don't show that you are not in control.
Correct, correct.
And I think that's indeed also to do with psychological safety and organizations, what they expect from people, that you should always be in control. And if you're not in control, something is wrong. And then you didn't do a good job.
Yeah, and then it comes back to me.
Yeah. And I think in nowadays companies, organizations, and in the world that we live in, there will be many days that you are not in control of whatever is happening. It's just happening to you. I mean, and that's okay. I think then you should just say, guys, this came in today, this request or whatever came in, and how are we going to solve this? I don't know, you can say. But that sounds in some organizations like, oh, you don't know. But you are the manager, you are the expert. So how can it be that you don't know how to solve this problem? And that will look bad at you. And then you can say, yeah, you know, but somebody else needs to say something about this, or the process, the framework says we have to take these steps. And then you can blame framework that it doesn't work because whatever. But I think it shows strength. It shows that you're a professional if you admit that there are days that you don't know.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting, we are expecting the leaders and managers to be experts and the know-it-alls when that's not necessarily the case, especially in today's VUCA world, right? You can't know how to navigate everything.
I think that's an illusion. Expecting that the CEO of a large company like IBM, Oracle, Google knows everything. I mean, they are human beings like us. They have doubts. They are encountering problems that they think, oh my God, how to resolve this? They act on a different level. They have different skills. And maybe one of the skills is that they can make quick decisions, whatever. But they also have moments that they probably think, oh my God, how to solve this? And I think then what distinguishes a good manager is that they ask for help. And they involve the team and they work together with other people to find that solution. They empower the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it that we're already moving from, you know, thinking about not blaming, but moving into, so what do we do if we're not blaming it, right? It's flipping it into a very solution mode thing. So, okay, getting ideas, getting, you know, approaches from people, collective wisdom of the crowd. Maybe even do retrospectives, do introspections. What are we missing? Even visualize what's going wrong. I think visualization for me and my teams that I'm working with is so key. It helps us understand, or helps the teams understand, really, you know, where the bottlenecks, what's coming up, what can we pinpoint, help solve, interdependencies, so much.
Yeah, true. I mean, visualization is very powerful. And with nowadays tools, it's so easy to visualize stuff. I mean, also with AI and with Miro, Mural, or whatever whiteboard you're using, you can also use it with Teams. So I think that's very powerful and very helpful. I mean, I think that most people have more connection with visualizations, drawing things on the wall. I mean, why do you think we use so many sticky notes? Just to make it visible. And that really helps. And I think also, back to the framework thing, a lot of frameworks are in basic good. I mean, I think that many frameworks are good. They are thought about, it's about smart people. They can work, they should work. And one of the things that, and I think it's still happening, that I encountered many years ago, people complaining about Scrum, that Scrum doesn't work, or whatever framework that they're using. Because a lot of frameworks have inside some kind of review moments. If you look at Print, even the older ones, well, not the older ones, but that are there for a long time, they have review moments, project evaluation, etc. But I think then the problem is that those frameworks or those project evaluations give us insights in what we should improve. But then the next step to actually make those improvements happen, that's the problem. And that doesn't happen. So the next time we're going to do an iteration, the next time we're going to do a project, we encounter the same problems or similar problems. And we say, see, it doesn't work. No, it does work, but we're not able as an organization to solve those problems. So we blame the framework instead of accepting that we are not able to solve our own problems that the framework makes visible.
Yeah, but that's interesting, right? We assume that the framework is going to solve the problem for us when we know that it is only going to surface the problems and we are the ones who still have to act on them, you know, respond to them in some way, whether we have to gather insights, do a retrospective, do whatever, but continuously then inspect and adapt in that approach, right? It's us who has to do anything.
I mean, the PDCA circle from Deming is already how many years? 20, 30, 40 years old. So it's already there. And I think, again, that is the easy approach. Let's implement the framework. It will solve our problems. No, I don't think there's any framework that will solve your problems. No framework. Because any framework is probably so generic that you can apply it to many companies. It will not fit your problems. It will only make them visible. And also, because the world is changing so fast, you need to adapt the framework to your own process, company, organization, context. So there will always be a twist and a steal and tweak. And by doing that, you should also understand that it cannot never solve your problems because it's inspired by another framework often, or it's the steal and tweak, or it's implementing that it will fit in your organization.
Yeah. And now I'm actually thinking, so we also touched upon, you know, the organizational culture piece, but I want to also maybe think we talk a little about what have you been seeing, Ralph, in terms of roles that people play? For example, you know, what role do leaders have in this whole context? How much can they influence how people behave and think about, including themselves? Yeah, I'm not excluding them from the setup because they are instrumental in many ways. So how do they behave? What's the role they play in the rest of the organization also thinking that, oh, let's blame the framework and let's not, you know, and let's dodge away from our responsibility? What do you see?
I think I'm a big fan or believer in lead by example. So we already talked about it, we touched it a bit. So if you as a manager, you don't know, then you should tell the team, hey guys, I don't know, we need to resolve it together. So I think that's where the manager, the leader, has a clear example and can influence the organization. The other one, I think, and what I like to do with any framework that I use or need to use is to be pragmatic, because there is no silver bullet. There's no framework that will solve the problems. So I often, when we implement the framework, I try to use the words, let's be inspired by the framework and let's make it our own. And I think if you as a manager understand that you need to make it your own and fit it to your own organization or team, it can be such more powerful. But if you're going to use it like, okay, it's described like this and this in the book, so we're going to implement it like this. Yeah, indeed. And this is what we're going to do exactly. Then I think you're missing the point, and then it will not help you. And of course, that's a thin line, because if you're going to implement, let's say, Scrum, many organizations already did it, but let's say you're new to an agile way of working and you're going to implement Scrum and you're going to make it your own, but yeah, we don't need a product owner or we don't need the Scrum Master because let's make it our own. I mean, it's a thin line what you can adapt and what you should implement. And I think, and I'm not trying to sell my own consulting services, but I think you can use experts from the outside world to help you with that. And it can also be colleagues from another department or friends in your business network that can help you or read some blog posts or listen to podcasts like this. But it's a thin line. So you should definitely introduce some of the concepts of a framework often, but you should always be very critical about, okay, which parts are we going to implement, which are really needed to get it going, and which are optional that we can use as a library or make it our own. And I think that's where the role of the manager comes in, to make sure that they adapt the framework to their own organization and not blindly follow the book, the playbook.
Yeah, I love that, because it's not a drag and drop. We've heard so many things happen, you know, across the globe. And I'm purposely refraining from using which framework, but I'm sure most of our listeners and viewers know which ones those are. Let's not drag and drop a lot of those frameworks, right? Because we do have unique contexts and each of us has a very key role in playing there. And I think we touched upon so many things, psychological safety, you know, the leader's role, what else? The culture, the organizational culture itself, how much it enables you, you know, to even take a moment and say, hey, I made a mistake or I need help. I mean, a lot of those aspects, which could leading to, you know, could lead into this stance of blaming the external factors, such as a framework.
Yeah. And I think taking responsibility for your own behavior, your own actions, I mean, as I said before, I think that's showing a strength.
Yeah.
I made a mistake last week at work. I rescheduled a meeting that impacted a lot of other teams and I didn't think about it. So yeah, I apologize. Sorry guys, I made a mistake here. I should not have done that. And next time I will consult you first, but it's my mistake. I could have also said, you know, guys, I've moved this meeting to another day because it's the best thing I think we should do. So we're going to do it like this, period. You just adapt. But I think by apologizing, by understanding, okay, guys, I made a mistake. I shouldn't do like this. I think it shows strengths. And it also gives an example that other people will say, okay, if he makes a mistake, I can make a mistake and I can admit, I can talk about it. But I think that that's also very important. And it comes back in many areas of psychological safety in good organizations, but just admit your mistakes.
Yeah, I like that we're talking about solutions already, because we're already moving from blaming the framework or external factors to, you know, owning up to responsibility and reflecting how we can change our behavior in our own unique context. And there are so many approaches. You've already spoken about a few. I think another key, or tell me, Ralph, does this really lead to us, and I don't want to throw in a jargon word, but isn't it also about cultivating that growth mindset that we keep talking about? Because if the culture, if the organization has that growth mindset embedded in the DNA of the system, we would naturally not be allowed to behave in a different way. We would automatically look at, let's say, for example, a challenge as, oh, you know, so let's take it in our stride. Let's see how we can figure this out so that we can come up with potential ideas and solutions and perhaps celebrate learning at the end of it, right? Not really blaming, oh, you did this wrong or the framework was bad and it doesn't work for us and so on. So, I mean, I'm starting to look at those kind of ingredients also being into the system to enable us in any organization or any context. How would you see that?
Yeah, I think definitely it has to be the growth mindset. It has to be open and understanding that there's always room for improvement. So definitely, I mean, if you think that you're done with your organization, you're done, or there are no solutions anymore or no room for improvement, I think something is wrong. Because it can always go better. And I'm not thinking that you need to improve 50%, make huge steps every day. But if you can make a few steps, maybe 1% every week, you already improve a lot. And I think another small things that really can help. So yes, definitely a believing growth mindset, making small steps, look at the process, listen to the people, and and try to implement those improvements.
Nice. I like that. So yeah, take small steps to make those tiny improvements, because you can only change one step at a time anyway, and nobody's asking you to change everything anyway.
No. And I think also if you change, that's all this podcast is about. Change is difficult. Change is hard for many people, including ourselves.
Yeah.
For changing a lot of big things every week, it will drive people crazy probably.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So doing those small steps and take people with you on those small steps, I think is very powerful. And I think that will really help you. And then it's also implementing the framework. A framework, doesn't matter which one, be critical about it. What can we use? What should we not use? What can we adapt? And from there, take small steps to improve it and to make your own.
Love that. Totally awesome. Okay. So I think we are a little into the podcast now, so which is nice. Anything else you want to add before we get to wrapping up our coffee conversation for today?
Anything else? I think one of the things that I think about is also about visualization and celebration. Because with small steps, that's maybe not a really big thing about to celebrate. I mean, implementing framework, maybe at the end you can say, okay, we've implemented something and that's cool. And this already maybe into the pragmatic stuff, how you can apply it. So what we did at one customer, we just printed a paper, A3, you put it on the wall, and we said to people, everything that you think is worth celebrating, you put a sticky note or whatever you want on this paper. And they did. And we got small sticky notes, we got a few large sticky notes, we got even one big A4 of a big thing that somebody thought was worth sharing. Mm-hmm. And when it was full, the poster, we bought cake. So that really helped us to celebrate all those small things, and in the end buy cake, because buying cake for every small step is maybe a bit too much, that will maybe be a bit unhealthy, mm-hmm. but at least put them on a poster, and when the poster is full, we're going to buy cake and we're going to celebrate. And we're already doing that now for quite a while, so we got two posters already full, so we had twice cake, two times, and the third one's almost full. So that's going to really help you to celebrate the small steps that you complete.
Nice. That's a great idea. So just to all our viewers and listeners, it's not about the cake, but it is, okay? So do celebrate with that or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just Ralph who's enjoying the cake and his teams. But yeah, go for ice creams if you prefer that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe my wrapping up question, and I think since both of us are seeing, you know, a lot of these things happening in our spaces, if we had to share, let's say, our top two advice nuggets, you know, for people who should start to move from blaming the framework towards, you know, looking at taking up ownership and taking up responsibility and not just blaming the framework, what should be maybe the first one or two steps that you would suggest they do?
I think the first, or not the first step, but a very important step or behavior is to appreciate when people step up with feedback about what's going wrong, when they admit mistakes. Really be proud on that, really be happy on that. And whatever you do, don't make them feel bad about what they just said. Because you got feedback from people, they took up responsibility to speak out. So make sure that you really appreciate that as a colleague, as a peer, as a manager. I think that's very important. For me, the second thing then is, if you're going to implement the framework, make it pragmatic, make it really applicable for your own organization, team, process. Don't just copy it. Because if you're going to copy it, it will go wrong, and then people blame the framework. And when you make it your own framework, and you involve people in that, that's also very important. Maybe that's the third tip. Make some kind of group of people from the team or organization, from all kinds of layers, and do it together. Make it your own framework together with those people. Because if it's your own, then you don't blame it that quickly. I mean, that's everybody's baby looks nice, according to the parents. Well, we sometimes think, nah. So make it your own baby, because you're always proud of your own baby.
Love that. In fact, I would have said one or two of those points myself, but I'm just going to add, visualize everything that Ralph just said. information radiation is so important than information refrigeration. Don't refrigerate it, put it out there, see it. You will be surprised what it might reveal to you. So yeah, create it and everything else, because like you said, make it your own baby. Don't drag and drop it. Fantastic, yeah? Because it has to be your own. And then I think that's the power of your own framework in there, because that makes sense to your context and not to Sarika's context or Ralph's context.
Yeah, indeed.
Awesome. This has been a fantastic conversation, Ralph. I'm surprised how nicely it evolved. And to be fully transparent to all our viewers and listeners, we just came up with the topic and we've just talked about it. So we haven't really prepped, because it's just something we see every day in our experience, I guess.
It was just a kitchen table talk, as you call it in the Netherlands.
Indeed, indeed. So thanks again, Ralph, and hope to jump on to yet another similar conversation next time.
So, yeah, thank you and have a great day.
Thanks, you too. And thank you all our listeners and viewers. We will see you back again in yet another such a coffee table conversation. And of course, we bring in Ralph again and many other awesome speakers. So until next time, take care. See you.
Bye.